The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is in the studios. Captain Travis Yackel, the tall man himself, and our special guest is Captain Jeremy Himes, Mr. I win the Florida Pro every year. That's all I ever see, man.
Right.
But, hey, we're talking fishing, and we're gonna be talking artificials today. We're talking redfish. I'm gonna talk snook because that's what I like to talk about. You technical guys like to chase fish. We'll talk a little redfish for y'all too. But we're gonna give you guys hopefully a good show today, and we appreciate Jeremy for coming in and talking fishing with us. And for you guys that don't know Jeremy, he's an accomplished redfish guy on the both the IFA and the Florida Pro. And I've done real well at that, and you typically see his name right above Travis's.
Woo!
below mine, right?
Yeah, right.
That's
fish talk right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was captain talk. No, there but you you'll see Jeremy's name up there just about every tournament in the top 10. He does a real good job, and does a good job, guys. He's just a really good fisherman, a really good guy to have in the industry for sure. But first and foremost, Travis, let's talk fishing, man. Let's talk a little bit about this past week.
It's been good for me. I mean, it's been up and down. I'm not going to lie. Definitely been hot. I mean, we keep talking about it.
It's been brutally hot
hot. The humidity has just been outrageous. I mean, we've been fishing some redfish schools and stuff like that. And what I've noticed is, I mean, you can only sit for so long, and then you've actually got to get up and kind of move around a little bit. And with that being said, if you hit it at the right time and you're there at the right time, you can really get some good fishing in. So that's what we've been seeing is I've been seeing these redfish schools start to move in, especially this last full moon we're coming off of. We've had some really low tides that have let us get out there and do some scouting and really find some good schools of reds. So, but how about you, Jeremy? What you been up to, buddy?
Oh, it's been good, man. I've been worried about, like, no salooner or nothing like that. I mean, you go fish what you have, you know. I haven't been worried about, you know, so much a tide, high or low, either way. If the water is high, you know, you really got to get up in the trees and fish for a redfish, depending on where you're at.
You just go fishing, right, Jeremy?
That's it. Dude,
you got to go.
Man,
you can overthink it to where you just go, I'm just going fishing.
Right, and you end up hurting yourself. Instead of just taking the time and relaxing and chilling out a little bit and, you know, going to put in the time and do some fishing, if you stretch yourself out, it's just not going to work, you know, so... I take it one day at a time and see what happens.
I have my best days on just trips where we just go fish. I get my repeats, and I know you do. They call you. They're like 3 months out. What's the best time, the best day? Like, I want to hit everything premium. And it's kind of stressful because there's a lot of uncertainty in what you tell. I mean, you look at the tides, you look at the salooners,
right?
But you don't know what the weather's going to do. You don't know, you know, if we got a lot of rain that year. You know, if they're, I mean, guys that book months out. And but I always have my better trips on just whim trips, like just say, right. Let's go fish.
Go fish, cool, man. Fish, you know.
So it's funny you say that, and I don't know. It's just the way it goes for me. I like to roll by the seat of my pants.
Right, me too. And I think what it is, you know, if somebody puts a lot of pressure on you, it makes a lot of, you know, it makes you feel like you're, like, in a tournament in your last minute, and it ain't cutting it, you know. But if you're going out and having a good time and throwing baits that you want to throw and relaxing a little bit, you can make it all work out good and hit the trees and hit the flats of grass and potholes and stuff like that and cover water. You know, that's going to be key right now. The fish are not staying still in so many areas.
Yep.
Schools are popping in and out. I mean, I've been to some good schools this week, and it's like they're steady on the roll. I mean, you hit them, and it's like 10 minutes later, you got to find them all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, we kind of noticed. I mean, Jason and I were talking about the other day, and where you see a school of fish move in, you know, you try to pattern them, and then literally the next day or the next tide swing, they're not in the same place or you can't find them, and you know, I think, you know, my kind of theory is that we're getting into that pre-spawn period. We're getting into that transition period. What I think, you know, based on some of my logs and notes is that they'll start to gather up this time of year. They'll start to pot up real good, and they're moving a lot, like what you said. You know, I just put out my article for this month in the Osprey Observer, and one of the things I talked about was fish and redfish schools and how they move, you know, and you're not always going to stop them. It doesn't matter if you've got chum waiting, cut bait, whatever. It just seems that this time of year, when they're in that transition period where they're moving in and kind of settling down, that they don't stop moving. And so some of the stuff we're going to talk about in some of these next segments is we're going to kind of give away little things about how to maybe fish those schools that are moving and be a little more productive as far as, you know, getting those fish to eat and settling down and getting a few of them.
I'm just trying to be productive in life.
Right.
Well,
there you go.
I mean, hey, brother, you know, we all got our priorities, you know what I'm saying? But for me, it's fishing, man.
Yeah, man. That's what we do. We're charter captains. We're charter guys.
You know, there's a lot of guys that just go out, you know, like I said, and just go fish and do their thing. I mean, I think three guys that you got sitting here, we hold, you know, pride and integrity in our business. There's a lot of guys that can go out and catch fish.
Right.
But to go out and consistently catch fish on the off day.
Right.
You know, anybody can post thousands of pictures and tell you their reports and all this stuff on
when they caught three
when it's good.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But when it's bad is when you see the guys that hedge out into the front and that have got a few things up their sleeve or that keep grinding or that, you know, have put a pattern together over the years that, you know, puts them in a place to where they can be successful. And I think being on the water, you know, seeing those patterns and really trying to put all the pieces together is where, you know, where you can be successful.
Well, an old man told me a good little saying that it's not about the amount of fish you catch. It's about the smiles on their faces when you hit the dock.
Sounds like Danny.
And you know what I told Danny? You know what I told Danny when he said that? I said, you must have had a bad day, huh?
That's right, brother.
But there's some truth to that. You know, I mean, you're not going to kill it every day. And you're going to have days where it's just off and you're struggling. You know, so from a guide perspective and a tournament fisherman perspective, they're really totally two different perspectives.
It is.
When you're guiding, you want to catch fish. Typically, numbers are good.
Right.
When Jeremy, how many times you've been in a tournament and you stuck two fish all day, but they were the right two fish?
That's exactly right.
That's what you need.
And that's, dude, it's the tournament thing is a totally different game than being a guide. I mean, you're pretty much looking at two different anglers. I mean, you can kind of put them together in a way, but in a way, it's not even touchable because, you know, when we're going out tournament fishing, we're looking for two bites. We're looking for two the right size.
The two right bites.
That's exactly right. The two right bites. And then, you know, out there on charter, we want to have, you know, people with smiles on their face, catching fish, and making memories, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So that's what you're looking for. It's totally different.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because Travis would tell you, I mean, I like catching redfish, but I don't like chasing fish, and typically they don't go hand-in-hand with redfish.
Right. Well, listen to the next segment. You might get something.
Hey,
right?
You know what? I always tell people, if there's a day that I haven't learned something, and I know it all, then I need to hang it up.
That's the truth. We're all learning, man.
It's funny because we fished the IFA, particularly the March event that's typically down in Punta Gorda.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And we're catching, and we didn't have real good fish. I think we took 20th this year, but every year we go down and I'm throwing artificials. I caught over slot snook. I'm catching big trout, over slot reds. I'm like, I couldn't get away from snook. Right. And I'm like, I swear, this is crazy. I can't catch a slot redfish, but I'm catching 34-inch snook, you know, artificials. And it was crazy that, you know, I told my buddy, I was like, I'm just a snook fisherman by heart. I can't get away from these things no matter how I try. I mean, you know.
Not a bad thing.
But when you're in a redfish tournament, you know. Yeah,
makes it tough. Yeah. Makes it tough to get the money, brother.
But it was pretty funny. We did get that big snook, and I was like, I'm putting max heat on this fish. And if I'd have been fishing like a snook trout, I would have broke them off. Didn't break them off. 20-pound leader. I mean, I had like double over, hand on the drag, and I got them in.
I was like,
I'm going to try this. But it's two totally different fishing techniques and ways. And you know, it's good to have Jeremy here because both of you guys fish a lot more tournaments. I do the IFA. I do two tournaments. I try to do three a year. I don't do the Florida Pro. And I just don't have the time and the effort that it takes. And fortunately, the guy that I fish with, Brian, he's a firefighter, so he'll go out and scout the whole week. I don't even really scout maybe one day. I just don't have the time. So it takes a lot of effort. But, guys, we're going to take a little break. And we get back when we talk with Captain Jeremy Hines and, of course, Captain Travis and myself, Captain Jason Prieto. Don't forget, listen to the commercial, support our local advertisers, as most of them are. And we got to take a little break and pay some bills. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
It gets hotter than a Thursday tune. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught. Down by the river on a Friday night, pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just living for the minute. Dead away down yonder on a Chattahoochee. Never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. But I learned how to swim and I learned who I was.
The ultimate convenience in organic food delivery is at your computer. OrganicHealthyMe.com is America's first choice for home delivery of organic, natural food, personal care, and pet products. All of the non-GMO verified foods, coconut products, and vegetables at deep, deep discounts. Go to OrganicHealthyMe.com to see daily specials from brands you're familiar with, such as Bar Harbor, Amy's, Eden, Enjoy Life, and many more. Hundreds of brands to choose from, all delivered to your door on time, at your convenience. No more hassle running around town to try to find your favorite natural and organic foods or personal care items. Your pet will love the variety and healthy products. Go to OrganicHealthyMe.com for a food delivery service you'll use many times over. OrganicHealthyMe.com, fueling the food revolution. OrganicHealthyMe.com is endorsed and featured on News Talk Florida and SportsTalkFlorida.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back to our second segment of the show. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. Myself, Captain Jason Prieto, in the studio, Travis Yackel. You're going to bring us in. No pressure. This is like the Facebook deal here.
It's like three live.
If his hands start going up like this or an interview, you know something's wrong.
What do I do with my hands?
And Captain Jeremy Hines is in here, and we're talking redfish. We're going to talk artificials. We're going to talk live bait. We're going to talk dead bait because redfish are suckers for dead bait.
Right.
And we're also just going to talk all around fishing. But we're working the tides and weather, but I don't have it in front of me right now. We've got a new moon, I think, coming up, so tides should be good.
Coming off the full. We had a full, you know, was it?
It was last week.
We're coming up back on the new moon. And fishing, really, you know, we're moving towards that transition period. We haven't seen it start yet, but we're moving towards that period. And when you start to see these redfish start show up, you can peruse Facebook and find out that the redfish are starting to show up, you know.
Right.
And following suit with that, you know, you're going to see a lot of the charter captains start to target these schools and really start doing some redfish. So that's what I'm geared up for. Our tournament season is starting to pick back up. Things are going to start getting competitive, and we're looking to see some really good fish start to show up here as we move into fall.
Before we get into that, Travis, what we're trying to do, guys, is we're obviously the show airs on Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. on Sunday. We're using some of the social media through Facebook Live, which you can catch us on Facebook. You can like our page, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Facebook/ Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. Also, we have started a YouTube page, and I'm actually going to take the GoPro video and download it weekly, and we're going to share that as well. The GoPro is a little better quality. I haven't done it yet because it takes a while to download, and I got getting my feet wet with it. But our YouTube channel is Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio as well. So check all these out, like them, subscribe to them, and you'll be able to get the weekly updates. And Travis, I might have you help me with the
we're
going to
get it all
YouTube.
Dialed in, guys. It's something that we kind of experimented with a little bit. We're getting some good feedback on it. You know, we're thankful to have Jeremy come in and, you know, help us out and bring some of his listeners and followers to the show and really try to make it more of an open format too. I think Jay is, you know, eventually we'll get to the point where, you know, maybe we can start having you guys ask us some questions and get a little more interactive with our listeners. So it's something we're experimenting with. Us. Feel free to let us know, you know, what you think, what we can do better, what we should not do, things like that, because ultimately the reason we're here is for you guys, and we want to bring you the information that you want to hear. So with that, you know, again, we're extremely thankful to have Captain Jeremy here with us. Jeremy, we're going to let you take it over for a minute. Why don't you go ahead and Jeremy's a full-time fishing guide. He fishes. He's
going to give your information out, Jeremy.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Captain Jeremy Hines, Dayway Charters. I pretty much fish anywhere and everywhere, anytime, every day of the week. I'm like a ghost. I'm in one boat right one day and one boat right the next. So, you know, I move all up and down the bay, which helps me in my tournaments. I like it a lot. So, what are, you know, if you call me on charter, it's like, you know, you call me and go, hey, okay, where are you docked at? Well, I will just tell you where I'm fishing those fish. You know what I mean? So, I like it that way. It allows me to stay on fish all over the bay and all over.
I would call you a primarily South Shore guy.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty
I mean, because I mean, and you know, the funny thing about the South, I mean, you fish all
love
over, but
the
good thing about the South Shore.
It's a central location.
It's pretty rural. There's not a lot of build up as compared to St. Pete and Gandy.
Right.
I grew up fishing that. Every time I go in Cockroach Bay, at times it reminds me of as a kid.
Exactly.
The difference is, I now know that Cockroach Bay, you really can't get lost in there. When I was a kid, I always thought, poor GPS. And I was like,
exactly.
This place is so big, I'm going to get lost in here.
My clients still think that way.
Yeah, you can turn around easy.
Cut a couple donuts.
You got to make them think that, too.
Exactly.
But you fish all around. And the South Shore, I will say this about the South Shore, you got to do your homework.
Exactly.
You don't have you got schools of redfish, but it isn't like St. Pete.
No.
I don't think it's like Gandy. Gandy's pretty common for common spots. You know, I will say this, typically our fish bite when you find them. They won't stop, though, is the problem.
100%.
Yeah, it's right. Definitely, there's a hat trick to the whole thing, you know. There's definitely a hat trick. And you know, we're going to kind of go into a little more, but, you know, sometimes this time of year, and we'll kind of touch on it, but I find myself, even with clients, when these fish are running around like this, to kind of go to more artificial pattern. It lets me keep the bait in the strike zone longer. It lets my clients cast farther. I'm not baiting hooks. We can consistently and constantly be ready for a fish or a school of fish to roll up on us. And
right.
So, you know, for me, this time of year, when these fish aren't settling down, sitting in a pothole, sitting in a trough,
right.
Where I can get them balled up and feeding, I tend to, you know, move towards more of that artificial pattern. It lets me cover more ground. Like I said, keep the bait in the strike zone. So that's kind of where I'll leave it. And I know Jeremy's got some lures that he's wanting to show us here, so we'll kind of let him take over and talk a little bit about artificial.
Yeah, I brought in a couple lures today for all the Facebook guys. I know everybody, you know, on the radio ain't able to see it or not, but Facebook Live is going to help you with that. You know, I fished for the last 7 days straight, and it's been up and down. Some of the charters have been a little bit different than others, but like last Thursday, I started a trip, and I had a guy call me and go, okay, I got a kid coming. We want to go fishing. We want to catch redfish. We're from the East Coast, this and that. We want to catch, you know, big redfish. I was like, well, our big redfish consists of, like, you know.
Doesn't that scare you when they say they're from the East Coast and want to catch big redfish?
Well, you know, there's rumors going around. I'll leave it at that, you know. So I just tell them, you know, our big fish are like 35 inches and under. It depends on where you're at. You know, if you're going for big fish, I'm going to give you two areas that I would say you can go catch 30 to 35 inches. One of them is going to be Fort DeSoto, and I'm going to give you the island, actually. Tarpon Key, there's a massive school showed up right now. I hope everybody loves that.
To see
yeah, we're going to let it go. Tarpon Key, okay? There's a massive school there. And also, Woo! If you want to go out of Gandy Boat Ramp in Upper Bay, just north of the Howard Franklin, there's another island. It's called Big Island. That's another one. I'm going to give away some of these guys' spot. I hope they love it. I'm going to tell you a few things that I actually catch fish on, you know, in all these areas. And hopefully you can get out and try it yourself, okay? First thing I'm going to start off, that chart I ran was Thursday was out of Cockroach. And I'm going to give you away the exact area that I caught the fish out of. A lot of people live bait fish and fish all these spots all the time. And right now there's so much fry bait around that, you know, the fish are not coming to the chum like they normally do. Like, you can dump half your live well, and they don't come to it very good.
Supply and demand.
It's actually horrible. So when that guy said, well, let me go with you, and we'll start out morning in top water or artificial for the first couple hours, I didn't hesitate. I was like, let's go. I love it. You know, bring your kid. It doesn't matter. If he throws the rod upside down and reels backwards, I don't care. If he throws 20 feet, I'll put you on one. So what I did is we got out there at the crack of daylight, literally left the boat ramp at daylight, cockroach boat ramp. We tied on three lures, and one was a hard plug. This is Dog Walker by Unfair Lures for a topwater plug. This is in the redfish pattern, and it's a hot bait. We literally come out of Cockroach Channel, and I put the trolling motor down. We trolling motor down the outside bank, throwing topwater plugs, and we worked into the first cut going north towards Little Cockroach. That's called Big Pass. Everybody fished it, all live bait fish, the kayakers fished it, everybody fished it, okay? But we were in there at daylight. Nobody was in there. The tide was coming in. And all the fish were coming in and going up to the trees. So that, it kind of ended up being a perfect scenario to where we got the fish before they actually got in the trees when the water got too high. I'm going to say we had about 15 to 20 blow-ups. And, I mean, it was absolutely awesome, dude. We had 15 to 20 blow-ups. A couple of them were snook. Over half of them were redfish. We ended up catching like half a dozen. And it was really good. The little kid actually caught one on his own.
Dude, I'm getting tired for him.
Made it. Dude is absolutely awesome. But,
that's called the Moonlight Bar, by the way. That's the nickname, kind of local nickname, is Moonlight Bar.
There you go.
Yeah, some of the names on the South Shore we really can't say on the air. Markers, so to speak.
Right, 100%. I believe that.
I think the old timers from Shell Point, Danny's Lodge, I think the old timers come up with some of this stuff.
Oh, it's all good stuff.
If you ever
man.
Talk to him, you know, back in the day, and sorry to interrupt you, they some of these names, I'm like, and they all have a story behind it. I don't think any of the stories are true, but it's like some of the old-timers just come up with this crazy story, you know. So
it's absolutely awesome.
I guess it's the Ruskin way, right?
It is. It is, man. But I agree with you, Jeremy. The topwater bite's been pretty good, too.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it as a pattern, like, over the last couple weeks, just in terms of getting out there, fishing those fry bait schools, first light. You know, we got a lot of small bait. It's not even worth netting it. But these fish are gorging on it.
They are.
It's probably the best way, and we've talked about it a bunch of different times on here, but I'm glad that you kind of followed up with that and, you know, put the back into that, because that's something that we like to do a lot, too. So,
well, guys, we got to take another break. It's time to pay some bills. Guess what we got coming up, guys? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
We got the Come On Man segment coming, but first, we got to listen to our sponsors and pay some bills. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
When I walk through that door tonight, yeah, I'm going to miss her. All the day, I've got to buy.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
Kenyonbay.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584. The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And welcome back to our third segment of the show. If you're just tuning in, happy Sunday morning. If you're on Facebook, it's not Sunday. Right. But you listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Captain Jeremy Himes is in the studio. Captain Travis Yackel is also here. And myself, Captain Jason Prieto, is at the helm,
studio.
In the live well at the helm.
Grabbing on some green
growing bags. In that. And, guys, this is the Come On Man segment. I don't know if we even got one.
We're going to put Jeremy on the spot today. Come on, Jeremy. Give us one, brother. Give us one. Give us a good story.
Three-foot net, Skyway.
Three-foot net. All
right, man. We got some come on. Just a little story about when I was tarpon fishing. And it's actually pretty funny. We're sitting at a bridge, we're sitting up, had our anchor ball down, sitting up for chum, had a chum line going. The tide finally changed. All the thread fins came up behind us. And, they're like right at the back of the boat. Had our chum line going. The tarpon are coming up, eating our chum. We just got done hooked up. Landed one, hooked back up the ball, and I just started my chum line again, and we were all getting all set up, and there was this guy, there was like four or five guys on this boat, and they're out there at the Skyway in the middle, like literally almost to the middle span of the bridge, trying to get some thread fins to catch some tarpon or whatever they wanted to catch. And
the middle span was 30 foot deep.
30 foot deep, and they're literally throwing a 3 foot net, okay? I mean, it was like,
come on,
my pancakes are bigger than that in the morning. You know what I mean? I was like, dude, he pulled up right to the back of my boat. He throws the net, and he's like, oh, man, they're right there. They're right there. And the other guy's like, yeah, you got to throw like this. And I was like, okay. I was like, what are y'all doing? He's like, we're trying to catch bait. And I was like, are you serious?
Come on, man.
I was like, that's like, come on, man.
Getting bait, especially threadfin, because they don't chum up and they're pretty fast. Like, right. Even a 12-foot, inch and a quarter stretch is tough sometimes. Right. There's certain spots you can get them, there's certain spots where they're paying.
I think about a month ago, you could have got them with a dip net. They were
when you don't want them,
during
May and June, it's a struggle when you're in a rush to get them for tarpon season. Some days you get them, but, some days you don't. Having the right equipment definitely makes your job easier. It's no different than anything you do. To be honest with you, I don't know why they make a 3 foot net. I don't know why they make a 6 foot net. I've never had anything. But I mean, I've never had any, there's anything, nothing out there that I
can
use.
Don't lie, Jason. We know you got one.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to do this on the air. Travis, I'm such a nice guy.
What are you going to do?
You're
going to give me attaboy?
No, I'm not going to give you that one. I'm not giving him his credit. Yeah. So I got to give Travis a little credit here. So I've had to go to the doctor, been to the pain manager for my lower back, 12 years of guiding and doing whatever else. And I've thrown the net the same way as a kid. I've split the net over my knee and split it over. And I can always open it, but
I should have had to throw it like a man.
See, he has to go.
You gotta get in it.
No, that's the way I throw it.
No, he's
like a man. This way is easier.
This way you open it.
But, I told Travis, I said, look, man, I've literally got to get nerve blocks on my back. And the way I throw off the back of my boat, because I have a full transom boat, I sit in the boat, so I'm literally clanking the weights off of my live well and, like, half throwing.
Right.
I said, Travis, I've watched him throw the net. I said, it just looks easier. I said, I'm going to learn this. And it's funny, as you get older and you do this longer, you really don't want to learn new ways because, especially if it works what you're doing. And so I'm proud of myself to say that I learned how to throw the net the way
you
did.
I think it does help you a little better, though.
Oh, no, my back isn't been bothering me as much. And what it is that weight is resting on my shoulders versus on my lower.
Triple load.
Yeah. And so
when you get thrown a big net, that triple load is where it's at, bro.
Yes, it is.
But, so Travis took about 20 minutes. I was surprised, actually, that I caught up on it.
It's real easy.
I caught on it pretty fast. Like, I did it. And funny, he showed me, and I threw a couple bad throws. And you're like, I'm not doing this. So I went out to get bait one of the trips by myself. And so I said,
I'd love to have been the mouse in the pocket that morning.
And I threw like the first two bat, and I'm like, I ain't doing this. I said, you know what? I told myself, as I learned, it's kind of like when you first learn, you got to be hard-headed. I said, I'm getting bait today, throwing the net like this,
right,
or I'm not getting bait.
Right.
And I figured it out once you got it. And but it takes a lot less effort to throw it.
It really does.
And it's a lot less stress on my lower back, which is the only reason why I really want to change, because, you know, if I can make something easier. So, Travis, thanks, buddy.
You're welcome, brother.
See?
You're
but
welcome.
Hey,
awesome.
12 years of guy, and I still, you can always learn something.
You still got it. Old dog. You got a little gray hair.
I wouldn't say I still got it. That's Danny. Right. Danny, yeah, Danny, he gets out there. I think Danny just runs. He'll run charters now just to tell himself he can still do. He's like, he comes back to the dock.
He got it, bro.
I still got it. I got the bait with the best of them.
It's like, hey, once you get the bait, you can get
it. That's it, man. That's it.
You get the bait, the whole load is off. Dude.
That's it. That's it, bro. I mean, people don't realize what we go through, you know, in the morning. As far as, you know, they show up and you're 5 minutes late and they go, well, we've been here for 5 minutes. Well, I've been here for 2.5 hours getting your bait.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, that's what... Y'all better give the captains a break.
Yeah.
Break it up, baby. Better give the captain a break. Just like you said, 2.5 hours before daylight getting your bait.
That's it.
I mean, it's not easy.
Sometimes it's easy. I mean, sometimes you roll right out there, but bang, 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 and I'm sitting there hanging. But most of the time, you know, a lot of people won't say this. They're gonna put on Facebook, I was one and done, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I get a handful of days. I'm going to be honest. I get a handful of days out of the year 100%. Where you literally go out there and you throw once or twice.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you know, it happens. But for the most part... We put a little work in to get that bait.
Or the one throw. How about the throw you get where you got so much that you can't get it in the boat?
You kill it all.
Right.
Bait is a real tough thing.
I can't get it in.
Right.
I can't come back tomorrow.
I'm going to
throw
it in a tarpon
fish. Yeah, tarpon season, that never happens.
But speaking of bait, Jeremy, you know, we Jason and I are pretty much centrally located on the South Shore. I know you travel around a little bit. Bait on the South Shore has been pretty good this year. A lot of smaller baits. We're starting to find some bigger baits. I actually started moving my operation a little south and getting bait a little bit farther south, and I've started to find some bigger baits down that way. But we got a ton of fry bait in the South Shore area. And I actually noticed if I went a little bit north, I found some bigger baits.
Right.
And so, but the general consensus is there's a lot of bait around. So with you kind of poking around, is that the same thing that you're seeing as far as you probably fish a little more upper. When I say upper, I mean Tampa, Gandy area north up the Rocky. I'm more, you know, Simmons north up to McKay Bay on that side of the, right, of the swing. But I do fish up there quite a bit, too. But are you seeing the same kind of bait on that side?
Right, and it's the same kind of bait just about everywhere you go right now. Really, truthfully, if you wait until after daylight, that's why, like, throwing artificials in the morning has been really good for me.
Yeah.
And then usually, for 9 years straight, I never got bait with my clients on a boat, but... the hotter it gets, the fishing's getting tougher. I've actually started liking to where I get you on the boat, we go through some artificial for an hour or two, wait till the sun comes up, then I pull up on the flat after all the other guys struggled for 2 hours in the morning getting bait, trolling motor with trolling motor until I see the good bait, 5 seconds of chumming, boom, throw the next
You got that hour window with the bait where, like, where as the sun's breaking, it's thick, and then it breaks the horizon, then it wants to get real skittish.
Yeah.
Right.
You wait an
right.
hour, then it shows right back up on the flat,
right.
So it's... it's one of them things you want to get, especially this time of year, you want to get an early start.
Right.
But, so you got, like, a window there. It's funny you said that, Jeremy, but I typically take people with me to get bait.
Yeah.
And it's just a system you get used to.
Right.
I know Captain Danny, he just doesn't like, he wants to go out there and get bait on his own.
Right.
And I take him with me because it saves me time. And what I've learned,
well,
the clients,
I go trip by trip, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I go trip by trip.
The clients actually like to go get bait.
Right.
As long as it's not one. Now, in February sometimes when you got to run the bridge,
that's what I'm saying,
it's brutal. Yeah.
Right.
I tell you what I've done is when I get, and I've got a handful of regulars that I would call them a pain in the butt, but they're a little more higher maintenance clients.
Yeah.
And this year, actually I did the opposite. I said, you know what, why don't you guys go get bait with me? And I've actually got two clients of mine that I did this with in the spring, and there was two upsides to it. Number one is we got fishing faster. Because if I get bait first, I'm going to put a mark that's going to give me plenty of time to get bait. That may result in losing some fishing time.
Right.
It's good time, you know. And so one of the things was, you know, they get to fish right after we get bait, whether it's 30 minutes or an hour. Generally, you'll get out before I would pick you up. But the second part is that you justify a little bit about what you're doing. We just talked about catching bait for 2.5 hours. And I've actually gotten and earn some respect from some good clients. You go, you know, I didn't realize what you had to go through before you pick us up at the dock. And so there's a little bit of a justification on what you're doing out there.
Some of it,
when they see you working for that bait.
Some of it, too, is boat configuration. On the my particular boat, everybody knows I run the Canyon Bay. With the full transom, I say, guys, they go up front and they talk, and I throw off the back.
Right.
I don't get no mess on them.
Right.
They stay dry. I dump the bait right in the well, and I go. Sometimes, like on a flats boat, it might be where you're kind of. And with Danny, he likes to throw the net off the front. So I know that his customers are in the way, and his live well's in the back. So then you get grass and everything. So I can see where the headache is. I just, over the years, I kind of figured. I've had the same boat since 08, so we're different boats, but same style boats. So it makes it easy. But figuring out something that's comfortable for the captain makes it easy for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
We got a 2-minute break here. Guys, don't forget, we're going to take a little break here. You can check us out on Facebook.com/Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. We're doing the Facebook Live every week. And also
we're going to start bringing in some new guests, too.
I think
this is good.
I think it's great.
It helps us out. You know, we're getting some more information in here. We're getting some of the best guides in the area around. And Captain Jeremy's a good buddy of mine. We've fished a lot together on Redfish Trail. You know, we share information back and forth. It's all about a brotherhood in our industry, and we try to group with the right guys. So, Jeremy, we appreciate you coming in. Give us one more time before we go to break. Give us our your information so we got some listeners out there who want to get a redfish trip.
My name's Captain Jeremy Hines, Dayway Charters. You can look up daywaycharters.com or daywaycharters-tampafishing.com, and you can get all my information from there. You can check me out on Facebook at Dayway Charters also. So,
look him up, guys. He's a real good guy. Been around the business for a while. One of the guys that I would say Jason and I would stamp the approval on as being one of the better guys out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, also don't forget we're starting our YouTube page, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. Go on there, subscribe. We're going to have this stuff on better video, which is on our GoPro. And we're working possibly on a new site or something. We haven't got that far, but we got a lot of good stuff in the works. And we got a lot of great advertisers. So let's take a little break, listen to these advertisers. We'll get back. We'll be talking more fish with Captain Travis Yackel, Captain Jeremy Hines, and myself, Captain Jason Prieto. You listen to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team.
Smiles about, man.
My favorite time of the season is back, baby. Football season.
Yeah, mine too.
And that means I get to use my favorite website.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me guess what that is.
No, not that. MyBookie.lv. It totally lets me get in on the action. And if you sign up now and make a deposit, you get a 100% bonus.
I think I'd like to get in on that action.
And it's mobile friendly, so I can pull it up from my phone anywhere. Even if I'm late and the game has already started, it's no problem. They've got live in-game action.
Yeah, but what happens when it comes time for a payout?
I never have a problem getting a payout. There's no hassles, no runaround, and they got the best customer service ever.
Sign me up.
Call 844-900-2387 or go to mybookie.lv. Sign up, make a deposit, and get a 100% bonus. If you use the promo code RADIO and make a deposit within the next 30 minutes, you'll get an extra 10%. There's no hassle, there's no fine print, and they've got the best customer service in the business. Only the biggest, only the best. MyBookie.lv.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohero's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohero fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohero fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Twitter.
Tweet anything.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040 The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole with Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
And welcome back, guys. Another great episode of Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show. We're in the studio today, not on the water, golfing a little fishing. We got Captain Jason Prieto here on my right. I got my boy Jeremy Hines, Captain Jeremy Hines on my left. And it's me, as always, Captain Travis Yackel, coming to you, bringing you the best of what's going on in Tampa Bay, man. For real.
That was good. You passed, man.
Good.
You kept your arms down and everything.
What do I do with my hands? But real quick, guys, and something that we're real, real passionate about. I know Jeremy is too, is redfish.
The tip of the week.
And it's the tip of the week, and we're going to hammer Jeremy here and try to get some good tips out of him. We talked a little bit about these redfish schools starting to move in, and one of the things that I want to talk about is approaching these redfish schools, fishing these redfish schools, what to do, what not to do. And there's two reasons to this. I mean, between me and you, we pattern these fish, and we get a good idea of, you know, I watch my fish a lot. I don't fish them a ton, and so that helps me. But there's a lot of guys that don't get on the water that much.
Exactly.
And part of one of the things that I want to go over is kind of helping some of these guys out that when they see a big ball of redfish, what to do, what not to do, because, you know, you're probably not the only guy, the only boat that know they're there.
Exactly.
And so the reason why I'm saying this is if everybody kind of knows what to do, it's not a secret, but you end up helping everybody out. Because once some fish start to get pushed around and moved around and pushed the wrong way, it really kind of hurts everybody. So what's your sense on that, Jeremy?
Well, just like that day that I was talking about where I took the kid and the dad out that day, when we come out there, you know, there's a school that runs up and down the inside of that sandbar just north of Cockroach, too, mm-hmm. on the Manatee River, right? And this is the time of year that it shows up. They're all over slots right now, and they don't sit still. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to either be patient and let other boats push them back to you, or you have to figure out where they're going and try and lead them, okay? So what we did is when we come out of that first big pass and we started heading north towards the river, we went, like, I don't know, a couple hundred yards, and literally we had three boats out to our left and one guy on a trolling motor doing 800 miles an hour coming down the bank, okay? So what I did is we stopped right mm-hmm. there, and we waited, and it was all like a bunch of mullet coming down to us, and I was like, they got to be in with the mullet. And I swear, literally, as soon as the mullet got to where I could see them in the water turned red.
Yep.
And it was them. It was all the redfish. I mean, we made three casts in there, two hookups. I mean, it was like, it was exactly how it was supposed to be. The bad thing is, that guy was within casting distance of me. So as soon as we hooked up, the fish never stopped, and they kept going right by us.
Yep.
Here's my advice for fishing redfish during this time of year. The fish are coming in. They're not set up. They're not staying still. When you get on them, if you can go slow and either you hook one or you see them, stop right there and see what they're going to do. Because a lot of times they'll stop for a little bit on a flat, and you can actually get a couple casts into them before you blow them up and move them off. And, you know, that's what I'm seeing right now is everybody's going 100 miles an hour or burning down the bank. And right now, it's not letting the fish stay still. You know, unless you're fishing trees or something like that, you're not on anything unless you just happen upon a school of them, you know what I mean? Unless you go, like, at least that's the South Shore and the Upper Bay. So, you know, you go to Fort DeSoto or something like that, then that's totally different.
Isn't it funny how them fish over there will sit down?
It's totally different.
You can kind of lock them fish down somewhat. 100%. And it's crazy, huh? And I really don't understand why.
It's two different types of schools.
Well, I know that, but it's two types of schools, but it's like you have more pressure and more boats running over the fish over there, but
and that's why they're used to it.
But they'll lock in there. They won't think that's, they won't move. I don't understand it.
That's what I think.
They're used to it. You can go to, I'll tell you what, here's a good example. You can go to Mosquito Lagoon, and I've literally watched videos. I haven't fished over there a ton, but I've watched videos of a guy in like a little banshee see redfish land in a pothole and do a circle around that fish and his big motor stop and throw in there and catch
right.
it. Because those fish are used to it. They're accustomed to, you know, I attribute it to like, let's say tarpon fishing at Port Manatee. When a tugboat goes by, we're like, oh man, them fish are used to that.
Right.
When a boat runs
right.
by you in the channel, they're used to that. They're accustomed to that taking place day to day to day. The problem is on the South Shore, when a school of redfish moves in, one or two guys find them, and then all of a sudden it's like vultures,
dude,
and everybody wants to chase them.
That's horrible.
And one of the things, I just finished my article this month for the Osprey Observer, and one of the things I talked about was my two main ways of targeting redfish schools, and one is the I-know approach, and that means I know they're going to be there. I don't need to see anything. I'm going to go there. I'm going to anchor up or power pull down,
right.
and I'm going to wait on those fish. I know, based on the pattern of those fish, that they're going to come through there at some point. I got a pretty good idea what tide it's going to be.
Right.
The other approach is slow, slow, slow.
Right.
Get in the tower, troll the motor around, power pull down. Troll the motor around, power pull down. And I tell you, this time of year, I carry a 12-foot wooden push pole on my 22-foot bay boat.
Right.
He'll laugh at me. But I tell you what, when that knot of fish is up there in front of the boat or when you know where they're at,
you can't quite get
to them on the trolling motor, start pushing along. You can get right up next to them and catch the fish. And so trolling motor vibrations...
it'll hurt you.
How many times have you been on a flat?
Hey, if a trolling motor is too much money, I go find some other fish.
But I can't tell you how many times...
right? They're not squeaky. I don't need to fish them.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I pulled into an area, laid it down, got on the trolling motor, and didn't know the school of redfish was 100 yards away from
me. Blow up.
And I'm looking this way, and all of a sudden they hump up, and you go, well, why'd they do that? And it's all because of the trolling motor. In Louisiana, we use it to our advantage.
Right, they come to it.
I mean, you want a loud trolling motor.
Well,
so,
and the difference between our fish and their fish, our fish no FL numbers, them fish haven't seen anything.
Those fish are insane, you know. But you bring a good point to that, Jeremy. And the other part of that was, you know, one of the things I talked about is not so much this time of year, we already touched on it, but, you know, having a lot of chum ready. I mean, you can stop those fish if they're slow moving. If they're what I call hightailing it and they're on the move, you will not stop those redfish.
Fish that are getting it, you're better off just throwing plugs.
Yeah,
because
they're going to stay right in front of them.
And you can just stay with the fish. I literally chased, last year we were on a good school of fish, and we chased them down the flat. We'd hook one, and they wasn't spooked. They were just going. We'd hook two. And I had good customers that could cast, take fish off. I just stayed on the trolling motor, and they were take the fish off. I chased these fish across the shipping channel and back to another flat. And we caught them the whole way. It was weird because they got in the channel, and they would drop down.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't see them. And all of a sudden, you'd see them hump up. And they got real aggressive in the channel because it wasn't
deep.
It was deep. And so it was pretty wild to do it that way. But as a charter captain, you can't throw bait, you can't bait hooks, you can't cast and chase the fish all at the same time. That's where the problem is.
And that's, you know, when I'm talking about bunny hopping schools, what I call it, you know, is I normally stay in the tower. And I'll have gold spoons rigged up or a bait kind of like this. I normally like gold.
Right.
But, you know, a soft plastic like this, and I'll hook my clients up with that, and I'll put them all on the bow, and I say, look, guys, this is what we're going to do for an hour. Because you can tell, you can tell right off the bat if those fish are going to stop.
Exactly.
You can tell at the speed they're moving. I mean, if they're moving and hightailing it across the flat and you're not even near them, you better go ahead and prepare to fish that school on the move.
Right.
Now, you know, not chasing them. I'm not saying chase them, but I'm saying put yourself in a position that you intercept them, you know, with bait. So
we're running out of time, Travis. You're going to talk through the show. Are you doing next week's show, too?
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. But anyway, guys, there's a ton to talk about redfish. I know I'm passionate about it. Jeremy is, too. We could spend a year.
Jeremy's a very knowledgeable guide / tournament angler. One of the things I would highly recommend Jeremy for a few reasons, the type of boat you run is a great artificial boat. If you want to do artificial chart, you do live bait, too, but you're good at artificial.
Right.
Or you can mix the two. Jeremy, give your information out again in case somebody out there wants to do a charter with you.
You can look me up at www.daywaycharter.com or www.daywaycharter-tampafishing.com. You can check me out on Facebook, Jeremy Hans or Dayway Charters. My number is 813-714-9808. That's 813-714-9808. And you can contact me through Travis or Jason, either one. We're all trying to work together and get everybody on the water. And, you know, hit me up. If you want to do some artificial, I'll put you on that way. If y'all want to do some live bait, we can do that way. And if I'm booked, these guys will get you on them. No problem.
And, guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Real quick before we leave, I want to thank Pam over at Loadmaster getting me all set up for my new boat coming in a few months. I'm excited. Got the new Loadmaster on it. Thank you, Pam, for taking care of me on that. Guys, been a great show. Till next week, tight lines, and go catch them up.
Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road.